for joining in the meditation this evening. And it is Thanksgiving week, so I did think that it could be interesting to explore gratitude a little together, especially from a Dharma perspective. And so something that I'm really curious about is what does gratitude actually feel like to you? How do you actually, what does the experience of gratitude actually feel like in the heart and the mind, the body? What is your felt sense experience of gratitude? And sometimes we know what gratitude, we think we know what gratitude is. Yes, saying thanks, right? But what does it feel like? Does anybody want to offer, perhaps from the meditation, what it actually felt like if you touched into gratitude? Or, of course, feel free to put it in the chat too if you don't feel like speaking.
I think for me, I feel warmth. I actually feel warm and comfortable, knowing that I'm grateful for something that holds me up or sustains me. And that can be a variety of things, but that's the sense of, like we celebrate this week, like friends and family and connections, and but it feels warm and safe.
I love that. Warm and safe. Yep, Loki.
For me, it's an expansion in the heart. And a tinge of love. It's a very loving feeling. And I almost want to bow down to whatever I'm being grateful for. So when you expanded that to all of life, that was really beautiful. It was a little high. So yeah, it's a little, it's a loving feeling coming out of my heart space.
Wonderful expansion, love, touching love. Yes, wonderful. Thank you. Maureen.
Yeah, I would say it's funny. I at first struggled with what it felt like in the meditation, what it felt like in my body. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's in my chest. Sure. But then I sort of came to rest upon a feeling of light. And I mean that fit, that's more visual really than a physical sensation, but I guess it goes a little bit hand in hand with warmth, but a feeling of surrounded being surrounded by light.
Beautiful, beautiful. Warmth, light, touching love, expansiveness. Wonderful, thank you. Anybody else? And there, no right or wrong answers. Anybody else want to?
I think I would just add this kind of sense of contentment. So,
Mm.
kind of lack of desperation, because I feel like the opposite of gratitude is like you don't have enough
Yes.
and you're kind of desperate or you need other things. And if you just can be at peace and or really experience gratitude, you sort of let go of all that.
Yes. I really like that too, the sense of contentment, in a sense, as Stephen says, safety too, but contentment. And it also brings forth, a little more of the cognitive element that I've got what I need in a sense. And I'm not in that space of greed. I got to have more or that. I can't remember what you said that it wasn't distress, but it was some other word, like it was a really urgent, painful word.
Desperation.
Desperate, desperate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Desperate, not desperate. How often, I know, do I feel desperate? Terrific. Anybody else want to share anything to contribute? Great. Yeah, I really resonate with all of those. And as I spent the week sort of contemplating the talk, that's something I said to myself, like, what does this actually feel like? And talk to some friends about it too, to ask. And those were some of the things that we came up with. And in Something that's really interesting to me about gratitude in Dharma is that I just know from friends who have very, seriously pursued a gratitude practice and done gratitude journals and this sort of thing, that it's been for many people, maybe not for everybody, a very, very powerful practice, really transformative for many. And something really interesting to me in Buddhism is that in Theravadan Buddhism, which relies on the original suttas, there's not a lot of said about gratitude, actually. It's not one of the main subjects. And if we think of the Brahma Viharas, the divine states of mind, gratitude is actually not listed as one of those states of mind. So I made up this sort of form of doing it as a Brahma Vihara practice. But the actual word for gratitude in ancient Pali is, and I'm going to try to pronounce it right, kritanyata, which means the cognitive knowing of what has been done. So it's taking note of something positive or beneficial, as we've sort of noted. And then Gil Fronsdale translates the second word associated with gratitude, which is katavedata, as that warmth of feeling. And that's something that I really associate with gratitude, this beauty of the warmth of it. And it's interesting whether that maybe is culture bound to some extent, I really think it's very beneficial to me, that warmth that comes with it. But also, just aside from the warmth, the attuning the mind, as Kate was talking about, not being desperate, but attuning the mind to things that are positive is a very, very valuable thing about gratitude. And for me too, I think the warmth adds a different sort of quality to gratitude than just focusing on the positive. But if we look in traditional Theravadan Buddhist teaching, attuning the mind to positive things is something that is a very skillful means. I actually, perhaps as a critique of how we practice Buddhism sometimes is in this context, is that there is so much emphasis on uprooting feelings of suffering, uprooting the greed, hatred, and delusion. If that focuses my mind too much on just that, on the negative, then I'm missing this whole field of positive things that's going on inside and going on around me. So I think it is a fair thing in Theravadan Buddhism, and I think it's very basic Theravadan Buddhism too, that to note not just unpleasant or deluded times, but note the pleasant times. And in some of the most fundamental Theravadan doctrines, like dependent origination and transcendent dependent arising, which talk about the basic causes of suffering and the path toward liberation, attuning the mind to positive things, to things that we're grateful for, actually then affects how our mind responds to the next moment. So when I look and I see, amidst the suffering, there also is this kindness, then it's going to give me the opportunity to pay attention to kindness in the next moment, or to pay attention to some sense of well-being that actually still exists within a difficult time. And so this is very much part of our Theravadan path for those who practice in that particular type of tradition. And also, I think maybe blending this with modern psychology too, I think that neuroscience is showing that when we do have a positive experience, if we stop and take note of it, take hold of it and reinforce it for a moment for ourselves, then it's a powerful thing to go forward with, that it helps our mind, our neural pathways, become more conditioned to positivity, to healthy reactions to things rather than unhealthy ones. And this, in a sense, is the most basic definition of mindfulness, what we keep in mind, what we bring to our minds. So again, this is a very valuable role, I think, to seeing the positive amidst the difficult, and experiencing gratitude as part of our experience of everything. And and in a sense, you know, practice is, you know, a dance, to be opening ourselves to the extent we can to those elements of suffering and greed, hatred and delusion within our minds, and not trying to shy away from them, but not becoming overwhelming with them, and to fill our lives also with the warmth and the present moment ebullience of life. And I know, again, speaking to my own practice, sometimes I feel as if I'm waiting to be happy until I uproot all that greed, hatred, and delusion within myself. Ah, then I'll be relaxed and happy and peaceful. And it's very valuable for me to like wake up to the present moment and say, hey, what about a little peace and happiness with whatever is going on right now, right here with me? So I had another question. So we did four different categories, and Loki already touched upon the aspect of expanding, you know, to, you know, everything. But we had a friend or a teacher or mentor, and then we had a parent or caregiver, and then ourselves. How were those categories for folks? What did you think of them? Were some easier than others? For some of those categories, did it just flow? Yes, I immediately thought of somebody. I'm so grateful. Or did anybody feel resistance at all to any aspect of it? And again, no right or wrong answers. Love to hear. Katie.
I thought of a lot of, you know, other people all at once, but it was harder to do it for myself, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really think so. I know that for myself. And actually, as a live example of this too, is that to feel gratitude is that I could spend this moment berating myself. What's wrong with you that I can't feel self-gratitude? I can't appreciate my own kindness. But it just occurred to me, you know, we do have a cultural value of humility too. And humility is a good thing. And so part of us is not conditioned to say, oh yeah, I'm so good to myself, you know. So thank you. Deborah, did you want to share something?
Oh, I was going to say, when you said, think of someone who took care of you when you were a child, that brought up a lot of sorrow, because most of those people that I thought of were passed on now. Mm. But I was very grateful that I could still have the gratitude through the sorrow of their loss, you know.
Sweet.
Like, oh, that was surprising.
sweet.
Yeah.
And to feel, yeah. The combination of gratitude and sorrow, it's sweet. Anybody else? Okay.
I was thinking of about the teacher, and Steve a couple weeks ago talked about his Dharma transmission. And as I recall, you had to say the names of everyone going back to the Buddha, which I've been thinking a lot about that, because it's a sacred thing. I thought, well, I really have gratitude to all of our teachers on this path and other traditions we're part of, you know, who going back to the Buddha and others in the universe. It sinks in that these, at first I hadn't thought of the historical Buddha when this all began for me, but as time went on, I realized, yeah, there are these sources and these archetypes also within our collective consciousness that come forth and teach us in a direct way that affects our lives. So I have a lot of gratitude for the teachings, even though I don't always think I'm doing it skillfully, but I am attempting, so.
Yeah, great. Gratitude for teachers and teaching, great. Anybody else want to offer a I want to make a confession. I actually, the first time I was introduced to this or felt, you know, I read some of this, the parents, I thought, that really doesn't work for me. And I focused on some, my mind tended towards some of the negative aspects. And I think it's in, especially in an LGBT group, it's worthy to note that often, it's getting better, but for queer folks, our parents weren't the kindest people to us. That's why I posed it, traditionally it's posed as your mother or father, in a heteronormative fashion. That's why I phrased it, somebody who cared for you as a young person, and not in the frame of it necessarily being heterosexual, heteronormative parents. But at the same time, there is a recognition that whoever that was, and even your biological parents yourself, they did, you're here because of some actions of the biological people there. Something that was interesting to me as I, reflected and investigated this week, and looking at, one of the teachers I rely on when I want to know, the very strict traditional Theravadin teaching or the truth from the suttas, in the very traditional sense, is Thanissara Bhikkhu, known as Thanissara Jeff. Jeffy DeCraft is his name. I don't know how many of you have read his stuff, but he's a very practiced Theravadin monk, a Westerner, American, who's also a scholar and translator of many things. And so I don't follow what he teaches and says, specifically necessarily all the time, but I thought he offered some really interesting things in some of the scholarship I looked at that he has written. And one of the things he said was that in Buddhism, in Theravadin Buddhism, gratitude is always linked to kindness. And the link in kindness and gratitude, let me read the quote from the sutta that he's referring to. And the Buddha is to have said, these two people are hard to find in the world. Which two? The one who is first to do a kindness, the one who is grateful and thankful for a kindness done. And something I find really interesting in Tanjeff's perspective is he's taking it away from the idea of general, appreciation, and taking it away of, I'm grateful for material things. I'm grateful for my house and my car. And there's an element of that. But he's saying in the Buddhist teachings, it's a link between kindness, the personal act of kindness, and the gratitude that we feel or should feel or can feel for somebody who has been kind to us. And that's why I structured the meditation with people who have been kind, not with material things that we could, and we could say, I'm thankful for the shelter I have. And we are thankful for the shelter, the food, the clothing and these very basic things that we have. And I think the Buddha and the Dharma teaches us to appreciate them and to feel that gratitude toward them. But something that I really like is that Tanjeff suggested, direct your feelings of kindness to the people whose kindness has made your shelter, your well-being in your life possible. Think of the people who have sacrificed. Maybe not, in my opinion, so much the people who have profiteered and made money off of things we purchase for our clothing, our benefit, our safety and our food. But if you think about it and pause, people who work really hard under very difficult circumstances, and we benefit from people who work so hard and who maybe are not in as good situations as we are, for many of us. So it's really powerful to feel grateful for their kindness or for their sacrifice, even if they're forced to do it because of their circumstances. And to me, that's a really deeply, meaningful way that pierces to a deeper level. It was thinking about the parents too. I guess maybe taking that, it's easy where I led us there, for me at least, to start feeling guilty, to feel guilt instead of gratitude. And so I want to move myself and us away from a feeling of guilt to the gratitude that the Buddha did not teach guilt. The Buddha taught gratitude. And I want to just touch on or read a little bit, because I love these aspects of the suttas. Let me see, where did I put it? He's talking about your parents and the gratitude you owe to your parents. And so I think this is really important, pointing to the final sort of point I'm going to make about gratitude this evening. And that is, so this is the actual quote about why or the degree to which, this is the degree to which you should, you owe a debt of gratitude to your parents. And this is what it says. I tell you, monks, even if you were to carry your mother on one shoulder and your father on the other shoulder for 100 years and were to look after them by anointing, massaging, bathing, and rubbing their limbs, and they were to defecate and urinate right there on your shoulders, you would not in that way pay or repay your parents. So, big debt, but what I think is really important is it says that's not the way you truly pay or repay kindness given to you. Because what the Buddha in this sutta goes on to say is the way you truly repay your parents is to develop the Dharma within you. Develop kindness, discernment, virtue, integrity, conviction, and dedication to the path. And that you develop that in you, and then you share it with them. And that's exactly the description of what we do with our friends. And I think what we do with the world. That the true way we show gratitude is that, yes, we do express our thanks to others. We do express our gratitude. We stop. We take note of it. We embody it. We feel it. And then we act and we expand that kindness, and it expands growing out to others, including those directly who have been kind to us. But sometimes we don't even know who those people are. And sometimes, as Deborah was saying, they're no longer with us. So the way that we can truly thank them, in a sense, thank those that we know, and as we do in our metta practice, then extend our metta to every being everywhere, it's by developing our own virtue, integrity, and kindness. And that, I think, as Loki perhaps was talking about feeling appreciation for teachers. When you look at what the Buddha said about what he asked for people who wanted to thank him for teaching them in those times 5,000 years ago, he said, the only homage that I want is for you to obtain release from suffering yourselves, and liberation from suffering, and freedom and peace. And that is the greatest benefit you can give to the world, because all that is possible for you to do when you free yourself from those fetters and those chains. So I love that. That's the way we repay the debt, not in some heavy way, but actually in a warm and joyous way. So that's a wonderful place to leave it on, maybe. But I'm going to read one last poem, because I think it embodies a lot of, I find it something that I've reflected on actually for years since I first heard it. And I don't think it's read that often. Some of you may be familiar with it. But just in closing, I'll offer this poem by W.S. Merwin, who's a Zen Buddhist poet, who's actually quite celebrated. He recently passed away a few years ago, but he was the National Poet Laureate for a couple of years during the Obama administration, and won the Pulitzer Prize a couple of times, and the other many, many awards. So he's a recognized poet as well as a Zen poet. And this is what he says in the poem called Thanks. Listen. With the night falling, we are saying thank you. We are stopping on the bridges to bow from the railings. We are running out of the glass rooms with our mouths full of food to look at the sky and say thank you. We're standing by the water, thanking it, smiling by the windows, looking out in our directions, back from a series of hospitals, back from a mugging, and after funerals, we're saying thank you. After the news of the dead, whether or not we knew them, we are saying thank you. Over telephones, we are saying thank you. In doorways, in the backs of cars and in elevators, remembering wars and the police at the door, the beatings on stairs, we are saying thank you. In the banks, we are saying thank you. In the faces of the officials and the rich, of all who never change, we're going on saying thank you, thank you. With the animals dying around us, our lost feelings, you're saying thank you. With the forest falling faster than the minutes of our lives, we are saying thank you. With the words going out like the cells of a brain, with the cities growing all over us, we're saying thank you faster and faster. And with nobody listening, we are saying thank you. We're saying thank you and waving, dark though it is. So thank you. And even this world, may we be filled with gratitude.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it. So we have an opportunity to practice gratitude by making a dana or donation supporting this particular sangha, and hopefully Deborah's going to stick. Gosh, fabulous! There it is, the online opportunity to make donation to the group, and that would be really good. And I think John, do you have a Venmo, John, or are you?
Invite everybody to who wants to offer dana in my honor to offer to the sangha and just donate to the sangha.
That is a beautiful exhibit of kindness and gratitude to the sangha, which, as you all know, will be 20 years old next year in the summer. And so if you have ideas about how we might celebrate that, get in touch with somebody or each other and cook up your wildest 20-year anniversary idea. And in the meantime, we hope you all have a fabulous Thanksgiving, and we will be here next Monday night. And John, I think if you're willing, it would be beautiful to have you dedicate the merit tonight.
Sure. I'd be delighted to. Turning to ourselves, a simple wish of peace, safety, happiness, and joy in our hearts. And either looking at everybody on the screen or just envisioning them in your mind. We wish for peace, safety, freedom, and joy for each of us here tonight. And then extending that wish of joy and peace and gratitude, let's extend it to all those who have joined us this year, the last 2 years, the last 20 years in this group. May you be happy. May you be peaceful. May your life unfold with ease. And then extending that out to everyone, everywhere. May all beings be happy in their hearts. May they have happiness, the causes of happiness and peace. May their lives unfold with ease. And may they be free of suffering.